Here is thy Radio Theater Channel podcast for download. The RTC still has the old timeth radio on live at streaming. And if to be true tis music thee loveth, tune in to the RTC Music Channel. Thee can findeth links to both channels and more on our website at oldtimeradiolisten.com.
Welcome one and welcome all to the Radio Theater Channel Thanksgiving Parade of Shows. I'll be your announcer, Smilin' Spike Standish. As you may be able to hear, there's quite a crowd out today on the parade route, and everyone seems pretty excited to see what's in store. It looks like the parade has just turned the corner and is approaching the reviewing stand as I speak. What's that? Who can it be? Why, it's the man you can trust to get an answer for almost any question. Albert Mitchell's Answer Man, here to answer some fascinating Thanksgiving questions.
Cromer's White Label, the premium beer that is two ways light, presents Albert Mitchell's program, The Answer Man. The program that answers your questions just as Cromer's White Label answers America's demand for a lighter, finer, premium beer. The Answer Man is presented as a service to you, to give you the answers to your questions. And here he is, The Answer Man.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. I hope you're all having a nice Thanksgiving day. And I believe you've some questions about Thanksgiving there for me to answer.
Quite a few. Let's begin with this one from a Summit, New Jersey listener. Who ate the most at the first Thanksgiving dinner?
The Indians. The Indians not only had larger appetites, but they outnumbered white men at the first Thanksgiving feast, 90 to 55.
Next, a Smithtown, Long Island man asks, are all the people of this country celebrating Thanksgiving on the same day this year?
No, not all. The people of Florida, Idaho, Nebraska, Tennessee, Texas, and Virginia have to wait till next Thursday to celebrate Thanksgiving.
Why is that? Didn't President Roosevelt proclaim the 23rd as Thanksgiving Day?
Yes, and Congress passed a resolution that Thanksgiving Day should always fall on the fourth Thursday of the month. But the President and Congress don't make legal holidays. That's a state's right. And these six states, the legislator or governor, decided on the last Thursday, which this year is the fifth Thursday of the month.
This letter from a Brooklyn woman reads, which was the bigger holiday in pilgrim times, Christmas or Thanksgiving? My husband says Thanksgiving, but that doesn't seem to make sense to me.
Maybe it doesn't, but your husband is right. Thanksgiving was a far more important festivity, for to many Puritans, the celebration of Christmas was idolatry, hateful idolatry.
A young man of Greenwich, Connecticut, wonders why we call a turkey, since the bird didn't come from the country turkey.
No, but when the bird was first introduced into Europe, the name turkey was used to mean any far-distant land. So it was natural for them to call it a turkey cock.
A man who lives in Garfield, New Jersey, inquires, when was Thanksgiving Day first celebrated by the whole United States?
On November 26, 1789, when, at the request of Congress, George Washington proclaimed a day of Thanksgiving for the whole nation.
The Manhattan woman wants to know if the Indian knew how to make pumpkin pie.
No, they didn't know how to make pie crust. But the Indians did have a pumpkin pudding made with maple syrup.
A Camp Upton Long Island soldier asks, is there such a thing as a turkey with all white meat?
Yes. White turkeys produce all white, or at least light, meat.
A letter from an Ossining, New York man reads, as I remember it, the first Thanksgiving was in celebration of a bumper crop. A bumper crop the pilgrims had harvested. Am I right? And what was the crop?
You are right. And the crop was primarily corn, barley, and peas. 20 acres of corn and 6 of barley and peas.
A young man who lives in the Bronx wants to know how long it took the pilgrims to eat their Thanksgiving dinner.
Even with the help of the Indians who came to the feast, so much food was prepared it took them a week to eat it all up.
A woman writes from Tenafly, New Jersey. Did the colonists learn how to make cranberry sauce from the Indians, or did the Indians learn how from the white settlers?
Neither. Each had learned how before they met. When the pilgrim settlers arrived in this country, they found the Indians using cranberries in their pemmican and making a cranberry sauce with maple syrup, while the people of Europe had learned to make cranberry sauce with sugar from the Scandinavians.
A note from a Hyde Park, New York man reads, what with all the fuss we've been having, whether the third or fourth or fifth Thursday in November should be Thanksgiving, I wonder if you can tell me which one has a historical authority behind it. Which Thursday was the first Thanksgiving held on?
The second Thursday, in December. The first Thanksgiving was proclaimed by Governor George Bradford as December 13th, 1621.
A young man who lives on Staten Island inquires, who was the first man to eat turkey?
We do not know who the very first was, But Benjamin Franklin said the first Europeans of promise to eat turkey were Charles IX of France, his bride, Elizabeth of Austria, and the guests at their wedding feast in 1570.
This question comes from a West New York, New Jersey listener. Do they have anything like our Thanksgiving Day in England?
No, not much. The English do celebrate a good harvest by appropriate ceremony in rural areas. But in the past, when they've had a day of national Thanksgiving, it's usually been to celebrate a victory in battle, or because the king had recovered from an illness.
A White Plains, New York listener writes, please settle something. Counting one for each state, how many Thanksgivings are there this year? It has to be 48, doesn't it?
No, 50. In the continental United States, today there are 42 Thanksgivings. Next Thursday, there are 8. That's because two states celebrate twice. And now, in order that we may always have a Thanksgiving, I'm going to ask everyone in the radio audience to buy a share in America. On behalf of my sponsor, the Tromer Breweries, I want to remind you to do everything within your power to support the Sixth War Loan. When the Victory Volunteer calls at your door, open up the purse strings and buy an extra war bond. Do your best over here so it will go better over there. And now let's have some more questions of a general nature.
All right. Here's one from a Brentwood, Long Island listener. Can you marry your cousin in New York State?
Yes.
And a young man writes from Stamford, Connecticut. Isn't reading funny books a good way to take your mind off your lessons?
Yes, reading funny books is an excellent way to take your mind off your lessons.
A Ramsey, New Jersey listener writes, some years ago, H.G. Wells chose what he thought were the six greatest men of all time. Do you remember who they were?
H.G. Wells chose as the six greatest men of all time Jesus of Nazareth, Buddha, Asoka, Aristotle, Roger Bacon, and Abraham Lincoln.
A White Plains, New York man asks, when was the first game law put into effect in America?
In 1694, when the Massachusetts colonists established a closed season on deer.
And a woman of Farmingdale, Long Island inquires, what is the lutine, L-U-T-I-N-E, bell?
The lutine bell is a ship's bell. HMS Lutine went aground off the coast of Holland, carrying a million or more British pounds in gold and silver, which had been insured at Lloyd's of London. Lloyd's paid the claim, and so when the ship's bell was recovered some years later, claimed it. The lutine bell is now rung at Lloyd's whenever there's important news. One ring for bad news, two for good.
A Far Rockaway, Long Island man writes, the Chicago transportation lines have gone into bankruptcy, so I'd like to know, what are the fares they charge in Chicago now?
8 cents on streetcars, 10 cents on subways and elevated lines, and 10 cents on buses.
A Camp Upton, Long Island soldier inquires, what did the United States Infantry Company consist of during the Revolutionary War?
During the Revolutionary War, a company in the United States Infantry consisted of one captain, one lieutenant, ensign, 4 sergeants, 6 corporals, 2 musicians, and 90 privates.
This note from a Bronxville listener reads, if the automobile was invented in England over 100 years ago, why wasn't it in use there in Victoria's time?
The automobile was invented by an Englishman by the name of Trevithick in 1801. But further development of the machine was arrested by the Red Flag Act, in which Parliament decreed that a man had to walk ahead of any automobile with a red flag by day and a red light by night. And this in spite of the fact that the speed of Trevithick's car was only 4 miles per hour. The law was not repealed until 1896.
A listener of Poughkeepsie, New York asks, who were the first people to say they were paying through the nose?
The Irish. In the 9th century, the Danes, who conquered Ireland, imposed a poll tax that was historically called the nose tax.
A high school girl writes from Newark, in my English course, I read a book called The Lost Mine of Tisingal. Is there really such a mine?
Yes. The Lost Mine of Tisingal, from which the Spaniards took an untold amount of gold, is located somewhere in the province of Chiriqui in the Republic of Panama. But no one knows exactly where. All traces of the mine were lost after the massacre of the Spanish in 1611.
This letter comes from a Long Island City listener and reads, suppose a man is standing holding a bag of grain on each shoulder. Now, after the lifting has been done, is he working? Is he exerting himself?
Yes, he. The man is exerting energy every moment he's holding the bags up. In fact, it's work for a man just to stand without holding anything.
A man who lives in Brooklyn asks, when did Charlie Miller win the 6-day bicycle race he won?
Charles Miller won his first 6-day bicycle race at the old Madison Square Garden in 1897, won again in 1898, and rode with Frank Waller to win his first team race in 1899.
A young man of Tarrington, Connecticut, wonders if squirrels are the only animals that come down a tree head first.
No. Squirrels, chipmunks, and similar rodents are the only animals that naturally come down trees head first. But apes, monkeys, raccoons, porcupines, opossums, kinkajous, and other heavier-bodied tree climbers may come down a tree head first if they're in a hurry. And coatimundis are not in the least particular which way they come down. With coatimundis, it's pretty much which end up they are when they start.
Next, the Bronx listener asks, where does Alexander Graham Bell, the inventor of the telephone, lie buried?
Beneath a huge rock atop a peninsula mountain in Braddock near Bedeck, Cape Breton, Nova Scotia.
A Valley Stream Long Island woman inquires, what is triskaidekaphobia?
Triskaidekaphobia is morbid fear of the number 13.
And a Forest Hills Long Island golfer asks, did two golf balls ever hit in midair?
Yes, a number of times. Head on, from an angle, and even one ball overtaking the other. In 1928 at Wentworth Falls, Australia, playing chip shots from opposite sides of the fairway, two players swung at about the same time. Another player who was standing at the pin saw the two golf balls hit in the air and then both drop into the hole.
A Brooklyn woman inquires, what is the height of a city milk bottle? Quart size.
The common variety is 9.5 inches tall.
Here's a question from a listener in Smithtown, Long Island. How much water does the geyser Old Faithful in Yellowstone Park spout when it goes off every hour?
Old Faithful geyser spouts between 10 and 12,000 gallons of hot water every 65 minutes.
A letter from a man who lives in Palisades, New Jersey reads, I've heard it said that the Palisades, that is the channel cut by the Hudson River, extends out into the Atlantic Ocean quite a ways beyond what we think of as the mouth of the river. Can this be true?
Yes, it's true. The channel of the Hudson River extends out into the Atlantic to a spot about 100 miles south and east of Ambrose Lightship off Sandy Hook.
How deep is the gorge?
At its mouth, the channel is 1,600 feet below sea level. And since the ocean there is only 260 feet deep, the underwater palisades must be 1,340 feet high.
A Trenton man inquires, at what time between the end of the last war and the beginning of this one was there the least unemployment in this country?
During the peak of prosperity in 1929, there was less than 500,000 unemployed, an estimated 429,000.
A Trenton, New Jersey listener writes, how about a Thanksgiving toast? Got one?
Yes, indeed. A toast to wartime Thanksgiving. Here's to the things for which we're thankful. Here's to the blessings we enjoy today. Here's to the day of real Thanksgiving, the day our boys come home to stay.
Do your part to speed that day, friends. Open up the purse strings. Open up your heart. In this sixth war loan, let's show our thanks to our boys by buying more and more and still more United States war bonds. They want to get it over. We want them to get it over. Our fighting dollars will help finish the job, will help bring nearer the day our boys come home, the day of real Thanksgiving. Remember, if you have a question you want answered, ask the answer man. Ask any question you wish, and provided it has a definite answer that is not of a personal nature and does not violate professional ethics, you will get the answer by mail and without charge. Send your question, together with a stamped, addressed envelope, to the answer man, W.O.R., New York, 18. When the answer man returns to the air tomorrow evening at 7:15, he'll broadcast the answer to such questions as, what are the chances of one star colliding with another? Is there such a thing as an Arabic typewriter? Why don't bats bump into things when flying around in the dark? How many of the United States are surrounded on three sides by water? When were 12-year-old boys admitted to the Marine Corps? And why do the Chinese tie whistles on their pigeons' tails?
Oh, look. Hot on the heels of the answer, man. It's a float. Featuring Bing Crosby, Rosemary Clooney, and Ken Carpenter. Let's see, or should I say let's hear, what tunes they've cooked up for us this Thanksgiving.
Oh, here it is, Thanksgiving Day.
The great day has arrived.
Let's talk about food.
Down, down,
back,
boy.
Ken.
Later. We got music to do.
It's a most unusual day. Feel like throwing my worries away. As an old native-born Californian would say, it's a most unusual day. There's a most unusual sky. Not a sign of a cloud passing by. And if I want to sing, throw my heart in the ring, it's a most unusual day. There are people, meeting people. There is sunshine everywhere. There are people, greeting people. It's the most unusual time. I keep feeling my temperature climb. If my heart won't behave in the usual way, well, there's only one thing to say. It's the most unusual day. There are people meeting people. There is sunshine everywhere. There are people greeting people. And the feeling the spring makes your heart want to sing. It's the most unusual time. I keep feeling my temperature climb. If my heart won't behave in the usual way, thing to say. It's the most unusual, day.
Well, Rosie, what's for Thanksgiving dinner?
Got a big turkey going, Bing.
Same for us. How about you, Ken?
Well, Bing, we're having chicken.
Oh?
Now, turkey just isn't one of my favorites.
Uh-huh.
Betty loves turkey, but she's serving roast chicken in deference to me.
Well, now, isn't that sweet of Betty?
I think it is. Next year, we'll have turkey. You see, we alternate each year.
Oh, well, fair's fair. You know, right's right and wrong's nobody.
Sure, that's right.
You know, Ken, someday there'll be a bird to please both you and Betty.
Well, a duck does it. We both like duck.
No, someday there'll be chicken for you and turkey for Betty. I mean, there'll be a combination, chicken and turkey.
There's a cross between a chicken and a turkey in our future?
I have word from Timothy J. Leahy of Albany, California, that Dr. Marlo W. Olson of Beltsville, Maryland, is working on just such a poultry pairing. I guess they belt themselves around Beltsville.
That's the big place there with the turkeys,
yeah. A cross between a chicken and a turkey?
Yeah.
What will this bird be called?
Well, it'll be called a turkey. What else? What do you think? Sure.
Well, you could call it a turchick.
Yeah, or a turkin.
No. Turkey. I like that better.
I like turkey.
Sure.
Ken, I wonder if you would serve chutney with turkey.
Well, the mandatory, I presume. You know, this opens up a whole can of peas, doesn't it?
Yeah.
Well, what would a combination duck and turkey be?
That would be just ducky, Ken.
Oh,
oh
no.
Boy.
Sorry.
Thank you for the straight line. You laid it out there good.
I think these are all rather remote possibilities, actually.
Very remote, but I suppose we should pass on this information, whether it's reliable or not. You know, it's newsy. Just on the possibility that, you know, we might be proven right someday and that we're prophets, you see?
Sure. It's a holiday. Let's not be ponderous or even accurate.
Except with our commercials.
Oh, yes. Our commercials are correct. Absolutely bona fide.
Anyway, we hope you're all having a wonderful Thanksgiving. We have lots to be thankful for, don't we?
I'm thankful I'm not having a turkey.
Me too.
That's the spirit. Count your blessings, kids.
When I'm worried and I can't sleep, I count my blessings instead of sheep. I fall asleep counting my blessings. When my bankroll is getting small, I think of when I had none at all. I fall asleep counting my blessings. I think about a nursery, and I picture curly heads, and one by one I count them as they slumber in their beds. So if you're worried you can't sleep, count your blessings instead of sheep, and you'll fall asleep counting your blessings. ring and I picture curly hair. And one by one I count them as they slumber in their beds. So if you're worried you can't sleep, just count your blessings instead of sheep, and you'll fall asleep counting your blessings.
Here's a hardy perennial, a perennial with wings, in fact. Bye-bye, Blackbird.
Today.
now Mr. Crosby and I mix it up a little with Isn't It a Lovely Day?
Nice day for it.
Lovely.
Isn't this a lovely day to be caught in the rain? You were going on your way, now you gotta remain.
Just as you were going, leaving me all at sea, the clouds broke, they broke, and oh, what a break for me.
I can see the sun up high, though we're caught in the storm.
I can see where you and I could be cozy and warm.
Let the rain pitter-patter, but it really doesn't matter if the skies are gray.
Long as I can be with you, it's a lovely day.
Isn't this a lovely day to be caught in the rain?
I was going on my way, now I've got to remain.
Just as you were going, leaving me all a fuss.
The clouds broke, they broke, and oh, what a break.
For us,
I can see the sun up high, though we're caught in a storm.
I can see where you and I could be cozy and warm.
Let the rain pitter-patter, but it really doesn't matter if the skies are gray.
Long as I can be with you, it's a lovely day.
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 Say, Bing, remember earlier this week we mentioned CBS radio affiliate KOTA on this program?
I do indeed, Rosie.
Well, today, KOTA is celebrating its 25th anniversary.
Well, we should do the handsome thing, then. Congratulations and happy Thanksgiving to KOTA, way up north in South Dakota.
And a happy Thanksgiving to everyone listening, too.
And what a lovely day it is out here at the parade. What's that? It appears that some of our friends from the Great White North up in Canada have come down to celebrate Thanksgiving with us. There's a group of mounted police on horseback, following behind Bing and Rosemary. And the Mounties are led by none other than Sergeant Preston and his faithful lead sled dog, King, trotting proudly next to Preston on horseback. Let's see how Sergeant Preston and King deal with this challenge of the Yukon.
The challenge of the Yukon.
On, King! On, you Huskies!
The wonder dog, King, swiftest and strongest of Eskimo lead dogs, blazes the trail through storm and snow for Sergeant Preston as he meets the challenge of the Yukon. Sergeant Preston was typical of the small band of Northwest Mounted Police who preserved law and order in the new Northwest country, where the greed for wealth and power led to frequent violence and bloodshed. But in spite of the odds against them, Sergeant Preston and his wonder dog, King, met that challenge, and justice ruled triumphant. Sergeant Preston stretched his feet toward the fireplace in Father McLean's cabin in Dawson. King, his big lead dog, lay down close beside him and watched the flickering flames through half-closed eyes. Father McLean eased his portly figure into the chair.
Giving is no excuse for eating as much as I did today. But that dinner was too much of a temptation.
Well, it was a wonderful meal, Father. That cook of yours is a prize. I feel like I'd swallowed a whole deer.
It's a good thing Thanksgiving Day comes but once a year.
You were awfully nice to let me share your dinner with your father. It's not often I get food like that.
Yeah, the people in my church are very thoughtful of me on holidays. They bring food that one doesn't expect to get way up here in the North Country.
You know, Father, 2 years ago, I had dinner with another priest on Thanksgiving. Nothing like this one, though. His congregation was very bitter about him at the time.
Bitter? Had he done something wrong?
Well, they thought so. It's rather a long story, Father.
Well, what could be better than a story sitting here before the fire after dinner?
The priest was Father Haley. He left this part of the country before you arrived. He's the one who started the mission in Dawson.
Oh, yes, I've heard of him.
It was before they built the church that's there now. At the time, Father Haley was busy raising funds for it. He was a lovable old man, big fellow with twinkling blue eyes and a good sense of humor. Very fond of dogs, too, and King was a big favorite of his. I'd been on a patrol north and was coming back to Dawson. About 10 miles from town, I was mushing along the trail, and suddenly I heard a dog.
Oh, King! Hello, you huskies! Stay here, King. I'll see what's happening. Well, fella, what's wrong?
Oh, poor fellow. You stuck your foot right on my sled back to Dawson. It was a gentle dog, Father. Part setter and part shepherd. We never found out who owned him. Father Haley's cabin was on the trail near the outskirts of town. It was evening when I reached it. Father Haley held the door open while I carried the dog in.
Take him over there by the fire, Sergeant.
Now I'll bring a lamp so we can have a look at him.
Well, lie down here, fella. That's it. Well, you got that handage off, didn't you?
Yeah, now we can see. Well, he's licked it nice and clean, hasn't he?
Yes, I guess he can take care of it better than we can. I'm afraid he's going to lose one or two toes, though.
Well, I guess there's nothing more we can do for him except feed him.
It'll heal up all right, Father, if he stays off it a while.
You're going to leave him here with me, aren't you?
Why, that'll be fine if you want him. I have to leave town again tomorrow.
I'd be glad to have him. He's a nice dog. If his owner doesn't show up, I'll keep him permanently.
Well, Shep, you're a lucky dog.
He's wagging his tail. Maybe that's his name.
It's as good a name as any.
I'll call him that. He seems to like it. Now, let me warm up a cup of tea.
Oh, no, don't bother, Father Haley. You have enough to do taking care of Shep. Anyway, I'd better get into town.
You say you're going away again tomorrow?
Yes, I'll be away quite a few weeks, I think.
I wanted you to have Thanksgiving dinner with me, Sergeant.
Oh?
You think you'll be back by then? It's 3 weeks off.
Well, that's nice of you, Father. I'll do my best to get back.
We've been raising funds to build a new church. And I hope to have enough by then to warrant a special Thanksgiving celebration.
Well, that's encouraging. This town could certainly use a church. I'll try and get back for it. Now I guess I'd better go. I have to make a few stops in town before bedtime.
Sergeant, glad to see you.
Hello, boys. How are you?
You're just in time, Sergeant.
Huh?
We're taking up a contribution for the new church that Father Haley is planning to build.
Well, that's fine, Butch. I didn't know you were interested in church.
Butch started it by giving a whole bag of gold dust.
Gold Nugget Bar is a funny place to be doing it, but I'm all for it.
Think maybe you won't fry quite so long, huh, Pete?
We're going to need another hat. This one's full. Sergeant? You better take this money out to Father Haley.
Well, sure, I'll be glad to.
I'll take it out if you're too busy.
Oh, I'll be going past his house tomorrow. I can drop it off.
Ain't you staying in town for a while, Sergeant?
Have to make another patrol, Ben. Be leaving tomorrow or the next day?
Well, here's the money, Preston.
Well, this is heavy. A lot of money here.
That's nothing to what he'll have in a week or two. This is just the start of going. The whole town's chipping in.
I left the gold at Father Haley's cabin the next day. The collection had netted about $2,000. I was quite surprised that Butch Harvey had started such a thing. Butch was a newcomer in town, and I hadn't liked him from the first time we met.
I see.
There was nothing I could put my finger on, exactly.
You Mounties must get quite good at judging men on sight.
Oh, I've been wrong about a lot of men, Father. My judgment isn't always right.
Well, we all make mistakes.
I decided I'd been wrong about Butch, and maybe he was doing this to prove to the town that he was all right.
And was he?
No, Father. I left town the next day after leaving the money with Father Haley. My trip took me far south, and I wasn't around while the church fund built up. As I learned later, Butch and his partner Ben were very active getting collections, and the whole town contributed. 3 days before Thanksgiving, Father Haley had raised over $15,000. He was putting some gold into the box that evening when Shep scratched on the door. Father Haley put his parka on.
Well, you want to go after a walk, Shep? I've been so busy today I didn't take you for your walk. All right, boy, go on out. I'll put on my things right away. I'm coming, boy, as soon as I put this box away.
Father Haley.
Hey, Butch, I'm sorry I didn't hear you knock. Hello, Ben.
Hello, Father.
Sit down, boys. I was just going for a walk with Shep. Wait till I put this box
Don't
away.
Don't put the box away.
Oh, did you bring another contribution?
Not exactly, Father. This time you're doing the contributing.
What do you mean?
Get the box, Ben.
Sure.
Butch, you don't mean you're taking the church funds.
That's not all we're taking. You're coming with us.
What?
Here's the box.
Take it out to the side. Hey, come on, Father, before I get nervous and pull this trigger.
Don't keep me waiting. Father Haley went with them out into the dark. They tied him to the sled and drove off. Nobody noticed old Shep. The dog watched the sled disappear and then limped after it. The team outdistanced him quickly, but he kept on through the night, following the scent.
Did they intend to murder Father Haley?
Well, Butch would have, but Ben wouldn't agree to it. They argued about
it. You're crazy, Ben. He can find his way back, I tell you. It's getting light, he can see the trail.
We're going to turn off the trail, ain't we?
But he can see landmarks. He can follow our tracks back, too.
What's wrong with taking his glasses away from him? He can't see without them. I tell you, I won't murder a priest.
Oh, how are you, Husky, sir?
All right. We'll turn off here and head for the mountains. I'll take his glasses off. We'll lose him in the hills. Yeah, I don't see the difference. He'll die of starvation or freeze to death.
I got back to town the following day. The weather had been clear, and I made a special effort to spend Thanksgiving with Father Haley.
Had anyone discovered he was gone?
Oh, yes. The whole town was in an uproar. Some of the people thought Father Haley had run off with the money. Pete Darcy met me just as I came into town. He was very excited.
Sergeant Preston! Sergeant Preston!
Okay. Oh, you husky. What's wrong, Pete?
Well, I'm sure glad you come back, Sergeant. Father Haley has disappeared with all the church money.
Disappeared? When?
Day before yesterday. People think maybe he ran off with it. Maybe he wasn't a priest at all.
That's ridiculous, Pete. He'd never go away unless someone forced him to. Were there any tracks around?
Well, lots of people have been in and out to see him. He lives near the trail that's well used.
Yes, I know.
Town's pretty mad about it. Everybody's given a lot of money to that fund.
Come along, Pete. We'll go to his cabin now and look it over.
You see, Sergeant, his park is gone, his fire's out, and the money's gone.
Yes. I wonder what became of Shep.
Shep?
The dog he had. Oh. He certainly wouldn't try to travel with a lame dog.
Nobody thought about the dog. He ain't had him very long.
Come on outside, Pete. Maybe we can still find Shep's tracks.
Your own dog has made tracks all over.
Here are Shep's. You see that front foot?
Yeah. He's lame. Doesn't put much weight on it, and it's crooked.
Here, King. These tracks, boy. Can you find him?
I'm afraid the trail is cold by this time, Sergeant.
Well, it hasn't snowed for 2 days. These tracks lead away from town. You could probably pick them up, but the snow hasn't been trampled. I'm going to try it, Pete.
You want me to come with you, Sergeant?
Why, no, I'll go alone. I'll take what supplies I can find in Father Haley's cabin here. Can't stop for more. Maybe a long trip. My team was tired, but we kept going. After a while, the trail of the dog was easier to follow. Shep's foot had started to bleed where the snow and ice had broken open the freshly healed cut.
You mean that dog kept right on going in spite of it?
He'd become very fond of Father Haley. When the tracks turned off the trail, it was easy to follow them. Shep, by then, was going on 3 legs.
When did you find Father Haley?
Well, not until the next evening. Shep had found him the night before. They were huddled together in a clump of spruce trees at the base of the mountain. Father Haley had no idea where he was. Here, Father, put this blanket around you. I'm glad you built a fire.
It isn't much of a fire. I had some matches in the pocket of my pocket.
Who did all this, Father?
The chin did.
Oh?
They've gone off for the gold. They took my glasses from me, and I couldn't find enough wood. If Shep hadn't come, I'd have frozen. We kept each other warm.
I found you by following Shep's tracks.
Yes, poor fellow. To drop when he found me. He dragged himself to me, his poor foot all bloody. Feed him first, Sergeant.
I will, Father. Now you relax and worry about the church funds. I'll telegraph Butch and Ben's description to the border. They're headed for Eagle City. And now I'll get some food ready.
It's not the Thanksgiving dinner we had planned, is it, Sergeant?
No, it isn't, Father. But there's plenty to be thankful for.
Were the two thieves, Butch and Ben, caught?
They were caught at the border by one of our men. Most of the money was returned.
As Father Haley said, that must have been a rather slim Thanksgiving dinner you had that night.
Yes, 'twas, Father. But it's one I'll never forget. We sat at the base of the towering mountain. The moon glistened on the snow, and it was deathly still. Father Haley sat beside the flickering fire in his lap. He hadn't eaten for 2 days. But when I put his food in front of him, he didn't eat at once. He bowed his head and gave thanks. It wasn't a short prayer, and as he ended it, I felt a lump in my throat.
I thank the Lord for sending Shep to me. Please grant me the faith and courage that is his. And help me to follow thee with an equal love and trust.
That was a truly beautiful sentiment, brought to you and me courtesy of Sergeant Preston, King, and the Mounted Police. We have one more float to conclude the Radio Theater Channel's parade of shows, but it is a doozy. A large house rolling down the street with a white dove perched on top. The double doors at the front of the house are wide open, and I can see there are people inside. Why, it's Dinah Shore herself, with Harry Von Zell and Groucho Marx. Of course, it's the Bird's Eye Open House.
Bird's Eye Frosted Foods present Bird's Eye Open House, starring Dinah Shore with her special guest, Groucho Marx. And now here's Dinah.
I didn't want to see you again, but I did. I didn't want to phone you again, but I did. I had a certain feeling for you that bothered me. I had to find out what the hidden charm could be. I didn't wanna hug you again, but I did. I didn't wanna kiss you again, but I did. I must have been too sentimental doing what I did. I didn't wanna fall in love, but I did. Have been too sentimental doing what I did. I didn't want to fall in love, but I did.
Thank you. Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. Hiya, fellas.
Hiya, fellas.
Oh, I'm fine, and a happy
Thanksgiving to all of you. That means you, Robert Emmett Dolan, and our orchestra, and Ken Lane, and our chorus, and all you nice people who are visiting our Bird's Eye Open House this evening. Oh, I didn't mean to exclude you, Harry. How are you?
Oh, fine, and a very thanky Thanksgiving to you, darling.
A very what? Well, anyhow, thank you, Harry. You know, this is my favorite holiday.
Oh, mine too. See, every Thanksgiving Day, I'm bursting with sentiment, brotherly love, conviviality, and stuffing. But, Dinah, who else are you having over for Thanksgiving dinner?
Well, my Aunt Sarah Lou Culpepper is visiting me from Alabama.
Oh.
And I thought maybe Groucho Marx might be a good dinner companion for her. Don't you think so?
Oh, sure. Groucho's coming over, too. Say, where is he?
I don't know, but I wish he'd hurry. See, Groucho told me not to buy a turkey because he's bringing one over.
Groucho? Groucho is bringing the turkey?
Yeah, I wonder where he is.
Well, I didn't win it that time.
Now, how about another chance on the turkey, Mr. Marks? Only 5 cents, you know.
By all means. But what gets me, Ed, is that there actually are suckers who go into a store and pay $10 or $12 for a turkey when you can step up to a cigar counter and win one on a punch board for a nickel. All right, Ed, I'll take another chance.
Here you are.
Let's see. I think I'll punch this one.
Mr. Marks, congratulations. You've won the turkey.
Oh, I'm always lucky. How much do I owe you?
$153.40. You wait right here, Mr. Marks. I'll bring you your prize.
I still can't understand how a guy in his right mind would go into a store and plunk down $10 or $12 for a turkey. Ah, Groucho Marx, you're a shrewd little rascal, you.
Now, you just stay right where you are, Aunt Sarah Lou. You must be tired from your trip. Just relax while Harry and I finish setting the table.
Thank you, Dinah, honey.
I hope the trip was pleasant.
Well, it would have been pleasant enough if it wasn't for those nasty old customs men. Why, would you believe it? They went through all my luggage, and they even insisted on seeing my little old passport.
Well, but you only... What? You only came up from little old Birmingham. Where did they go through your luggage and examine your passport?
At the Mason-Dixon line.
Oh.
There. Now, doesn't the table look nice? Let's see, Harry, you'll sit over here. And I'll sit over here, and Groucho will sit over there. And Aunt Sarah Lou, you'll sit over here.
Yeah, well, gee, I'm hungry. I wish Groucho Marx would get here so we could put that turkey in the oven.
I do, too. Oh, I hope that's him. Well, Groucho, how do you do? It's about time.
Sorry to keep you waiting, but to all of you I say, Noel, Noel. That means happy Thanksgiving in French.
Well, besame mucho to you.
Come outside and say that.
No. Bad enough to say it in here. You know, in Spanish, Groucho, that means, where is the turkey?
Bonzel, keep your shirt on. Keep your shirt... Never mind. After looking at that shirt, you better take it off. Dinah, I want to present you with the most beautiful turkey you've ever seen.
Well, where is it?
Right here. Hyman, come on in. Wait till you try putting that in the icebox.
This is ridiculous. I don't believe it.
You will if you start plucking his tail feathers.
Well, how in the world... You know, this turkey looks like a fellow I used to play pool with in Paul Tuckett. Well, how in the world did you ever get this turkey over here?
On a streetcar.
Well, didn't you have any trouble?
No, an old lady got up and gave him a seat. She used to be a turkey, too.
Groucho, Groucho, everything else is cooked. Who's going to kill the turkey?
Dinah, don't mention the word kill in front of him. It frightens him. And turkey, stop ad-libbing, will you?
You're not kidding. It frightens him. Look at this. This is the first time I ever saw goose pimples on a turkey.
Yeah, take it easy, Hyman. Take it easy. Take it easy. Hyman, don't overdo it. Get off your knees. I'm going to eat them later.
because you neglected to introduce me to this charming gentleman.
Hyman, stop bowing. She means me.
Oh, Groucho, I'm really sorry. I want you to meet my Aunt Sarah Lou Culpepper. She's from Alabama.
How do you do?
It's a pleasure, ma'am. I'm always proud to meet a daughter of the old Sioux. After all, I'm a son of the old Sioux. I come from Florida.
Pensacola?
No, thanks, but I wouldn't mind a drink of 7-Up.
Excuse me, Aunt Sarah Lou, but I've got to settle this. Now, Groucho, how are we going to K-I-L-L the T-U-R-K-E-Y?
She doesn't spell very well either. It's very simple. We'll just C-U-T his H-E-A-D-O-F-F.
All right. You don't have to spell things out in front of me. I don't want any of your old candy anywhere.
Bonzel, if you had 38 more points, you could get out of kindergarten.
Now, boys, please, we've got to do something. The rest of the food is all cooked.
Yeah, and if the cranberry sauce stands much longer, the taste will be killed.
Harry!
There's no holding that turkey tonight. That's the last time I get a turkey that went to college.
Thank you. Groucho, where's Harry?
He's putting Hyman in the kitchen. With that turkey in another room, we might be able to think this thing out.
Oh, Harry. Harry, I hope Herman didn't make any too much trouble about being alone in the kitchen.
Oh, no, not a bit. As a matter of fact, that bird is most cooperative. You know that chestnut dressing you made?
Mm-hmm.
He just stuffed himself with it.
Well, which one of you is going to prepare the turkeys for cooking?
Well, don't look at me. I'm so tender-hearted, I feel faint when I cut the pages of a book.
And what about you, Mr. Moss?
Oh, I couldn't. I've learned to love Hyman. He's like a brother to me. As a matter of fact, he does look like Chico. Except there's more white meat on Chico.
Well, it's up to you, Groucho. When I invited you to a Thanksgiving dinner, you promised to supply the turkey. Now...
Well, I did, but I can't help it if I'm not a killer.
Hey, Dinah, I've got an idea. You know, I've got connections.
Well, what about it?
I'll get a mobster from out of town to bump him off.
Oh, don't be silly.
Oh, when you Yankees call yourselves men, why, that turkey's neck would have been wrung long ago in Alabama.
I'll be right back.
Where are you going?
I just want to warn Hyman not to fly south for the winter.
I'm losing patience. Something's got to be done about that turkey. Now, Groucho, I'm going to give you and Harry 30 seconds to think of something.
I'd love to, Dinah, but I can't think of a thing.
Hold it, hold it. Oh, wait a minute, everybody. I'm thinking of something.
What are you thinking about?
Green beans.
Green beans?
Green beans.
Green beans. Green beans.
Bird's eye, quick frozen green beans.
Problem. Walking around in the kitchen.
Dinah, honey, I'll settle the whole problem. Gentlemen. To the first man who killed that turkey, I will give a great big kiss.
To the first man who kills that turkey, you will give a great big kiss?
Yes.
Folks, in that kitchen stands a turkey named Hyman, who will be the first turkey on record to live long enough to collect Social Security.
Groucho Marx! I realize you're a Yankee. But even so, I've never seen anything quite as fresh.
No, fresh? Just wait till you try those bird's eye stringless beans.
She walked into that one.
Certainly did. Or any other bird's eye vegetable or fruit. They're the freshest tasting, most perfect food you ever ate. That's because the bird's eye folks really know how to grow and prepare good food. They're so careful, you know. So fussy that you can always be sure of getting perfectly delicious, clean, and uniform food all the time. Believe me, any one of those bird's eye fruits or vegetables would win first prize at a beauty contest.
I can just see it. The scene is Atlantic City. As the cameras are clicking, there sits Miss Stringbean of 1945. Her shapely legs and eyes are crossed, and she's wearing a quick frozen bathing suit.
Yes, and as I wink at her, she gives me the eye.
The bird's eye. I'm going to get in on this racket, too.
Bless your little fat heart.
And my little fat bird's eye.
Yes. Really, folks, if you give your food store's frosted food case the bird's eye, you're going to get some mighty good food. Because you know, if you want the better buy in frosted foods, better buy bird's eye.
Look, fellas, I've just gone through the cookbook again, and it says nothing on how to cook a live turkey. Now, what are you going to do about it?
Oh, with my dear, dear husband, Colonel Blodgett, were only here. He'd know how to handle that turkey.
Your husband, Colonel Blodgett?
Yes, we were married for 20 years. Oh, what a beautiful union. He died a short time ago.
That guy didn't die. He seceded from the union.
The Jerome Kern spot. Tonight, a tune from one score of the innumerable scores he wrote. Lots of couples call it their own song, but it belongs to anybody who's ever been in love. You are the promises of springtime that makes the lonely winter seem long. You are the breathless hush of evening that trembles on the brink of a lovely song. You are the
the arms will hold you. And someday I'll know that moment divine when all the things you are
for a Thanksgiving dinner. This had to happen. My day is ruined.
Yes, Donna. Child, I must admit I'm terribly disappointed. This day means a lot to me. Well, I can still remember when I was a little girl, the first Thanksgiving dinner I ate with the grown-ups. Oh, Father had the drumstick, Mother had the wings, and I got the turkey neck.
What's that?
I got a turkey neck.
Well, wear a high collar, nobody will notice it.
Now, look, Groucho, that's no way to talk to my aunt.
I can't help it, Dinah. I keep thinking she's your uncle.
Oh, no. Oh, Pop. Enough of this.
Pop, where does it say that in here?
Pop,
huh?
I wrote it in right there. F-O-P, Pop. That's a funny word, isn't it? Well, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going in there and finish off that turkey. Somebody's got... Groucho, have you got a hatchet in your pocket?
No, but take this egg. The turkey will hatch it. I'm not responsible for that. The turkey wrote that joke himself.
Oh, Harry, I'm very proud of you. I'm glad there's one man here who has some courage.
Well, thank you, Dinah. Now, I'm a-going into that there kitchen, and when I get finished, that there turkey, he'll be ready for the roasting. I'll be right back.
Well, we'll all be eating soon.
For Hyman's sake, I hope the end comes fast. Well, Hyman's in psyche heaven now. May he rest in pieces. And I wish I'd one of the pieces.
Well?
Thanks, old boy.
Harry, are you finished?
Finished? I'll say I'm finished. The darn turkey threw me 2 falls out of 3.
You should have gotten a half Nelson on his giblet. Or still better, a half giblet on his Nelson. That's a two-way joke. You can have it either way you want.
No.
We insure everything around here.
Nobody can handle that turkey. And to think that only yesterday, Mr. Krausmeier, the butcher, wanted to sell me a turkey, and I turned him down.
Dinah, we'll have turkey yet. Give me that phone.
Okay.
Yeah, she dials like a dog, doesn't she? Hello. No. Hello. Hello, Mr. Krausmeier. This is Groucho Marx. Have you got a turkey left in the shop that you could sell me? You have one. Weighs 165 pounds. Krausmeier, take your wife off the scale. Think of your children. And take them off the scale, too. I just want a turkey. All you've got is a live one? Oh, never mind. But just out of curiosity, is it a male turkey or a female? A female? Well, if she's not going steady, I can get her a hot date for Saturday night. Goodbye.
Well?
All right, Diner, I guess I'll have to go in there and do away with Herman. I feel like a Benedict Arnold, but I'll do it.
Atta boy, Groucho, old man.
But wait a minute, I can't face Herman unless I have a little something to brace me up.
Well, I took the liberty of mixing a bowl of punch.
Sure enough?
You'll find it right there in the kitchen.
Sure enough.
That... that ought to brace you up. We call it the Southern Magnolia and Honeysuckle Punch.
Sounds good. How's it made?
Well, it's mighty complicated. You take a big bowl, you pour in 5/4 of bourbon.
What else?
That's all.
Herman, here I come. Hey, where's that bowl of punch?
Well, I saw it right here on the kitchen table.
Well, the bowl is there, but there's nothing in it.
You're right. The bowl is empty. Aunt Sarah Lou, did you... How dare you suggest that I would...
Well, I just...
Well, don't look at me. I didn't touch it.
Well, somebody must have drunk it.
I wonder who it could have been.
That's all. A drunken turkey. Groucho, this is the last straw. After all the plans I made for this Thanksgiving Day dinner, there's nothing for me to do but go in the corner and cry.
Don't talk that way, Dinah. Why, you'd be the envy of every hostess in America.
How?
Today, in millions of homes, people are having plain turkey, stuffed turkey, smoked turkey, baked turkey, and roast turkey.
Yes?
You are the only woman in the United States who has a pickled turkey.
Say, folks, I bet I know what you're going to have for dinner tomorrow night. Turkey. And the next night, and the night after that, and the night after that. Yes, sir, for the next week or so, you're going to get the bird in one way or another. But look, if you want to add a little variety to those turkey meals, how about pepping them up with some of those wonderful Bird's Eye quick frozen vegetables? They're all so good, all so easy to prepare, really a pleasure to serve. So how about getting some tomorrow? Just make sure, though, that the packages you pick say Bird's Eye clear as anything on the label. Because there are many brands of frosted foods, but only one Bird's Eye. Only Bird's Eye gives you that famous Bird's Eye garden freshness. That Bird's Eye uniform top quality every time. So for the better buy in frosted foods, better buy Bird's Eye.
For the judgment day.
Mark, we had a lot of fun, and you're always welcome. And, folks, that makes for curtain time for now. Hope you enjoyed our Bird's Eye Open House offering so much tonight that you'll all be back with us at the same time next week when our guest will be Alan Ladd. Girls, please. In the meanwhile, keep well, keep happy, and keep those war bonds. Night, everybody.
Well, I think that's going to do it for us here at the Parade Route. From everyone here at the Radio Theater Channel, have a happy and safe Thanksgiving.